Good morning, church. It is amazing to be together this morning and continuing in our series, Deep, High, and Wide. This series, as we've been tracking through it, we've been looking at the abundance and the fullness that is available to us in the Christian life, right? And we've been looking at living Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused. All right, our first week, we looked at becoming Christ-centered. It was about digging deep, and it was about getting rid of our ideas and our ways of living, and we were talking about orienting our lives on Jesus. All right, we looked at abandoning the poverty of the self-life, and instead claiming the fullness of the Christ life. And then last week we continued, and we were talking about the Spirit-empowered life. And this is as Jesus in us increases, he imparts himself to us. In him, this is a high life. This is above sin and brokenness and shame. Right? Jesus' thoughts in us become our thoughts. Jesus' love in us becomes our love. His behaviors, his will, his desires, they're all available in fullness to us in the Spirit-empowered life. And this week, we are looking at the wide life. Right? The wide life is a mission-focused life. Right? In Jesus, our lives were intended to have reach. They were intended for broadness, for span, for overflow. It is to be like a fountain, where we're centered on our source and then filled up, full and going high and overflowing. Right? When we center our lives on Jesus, right, when we're filled with his Holy Spirit, we overflow into the lives of others. Right? It's intentional and it's active. Right? Our lives, how we talk, how we act. Right? It is to bear witness to the life of Christ within us. It is to live mission focused. Right? And today we're longing for the Lord to speak to us and teach us about his purposes for us, his mission to us, both personally in our own lives and as a church, to help us understand what it means to us to live mission focused. And we also want God to show us what exists in us that may be an obstacle for that mission-focused life, right? We want him to show us by his word, to speak to us in our hearts how we can live on mission. Let's pray as we begin. Father in heaven, how beautiful it is to gather here as your church, united together in love for you, in pursuit of you. We're hungry for you, Jesus. The world this week, it pales in comparison to your glory. We want you in fullness to experience you, to hear from you. And so we ask you that now that you would settle our spirits, open our minds, give us capacity to hear heavenly things. Fill us, teach us. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So last summer we ran into an issue with the pool that's in our backyard. The jets which circulate the water through the pool, they weren't working properly. And what we noticed was that there was a bunch of air bubbles. And when you see that, generally what that means is that there's a leak in the lines. And when those pipes are working well, when the jets are working well, what it's doing is it's moving the pipes underneath are carrying the water They're continuously running it, and they're pushing the water through the heater and the motor and circling it back through the pool. So now the water in our pool wasn't moving well, right? The momentum from those jets was lethargic. The movement was slow and laborious and started to become stagnant. And we all know that stagnant water is never very good. If you were to ask our youth ministry kids about what color that water was when they came for that pool party, they would tell you it was pretty green. And the same way that that water needed to flow, continuously move, and move in a purposeful way, so it is in the Christian life, right? We have to be intentional and directed, right, to God's kingdom, or we are going to end up like the water in those lines. We're going to end up sluggish or diverted or apathetic. Right, but Jesus, he gives us his direction. He gives us purpose. Right, as believers in Jesus and recipients of the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus gives us this charge. He says in Matthew 28:19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Right, we are a people to be on mission, right, to everyone, everywhere, all the time. We are to share and to teach and instruct and train others in the way of Jesus, right? And it's both to talk about the kingdom life, but it's also to demonstrate it by our very conduct, right? It is to communicate Jesus to other people using our words. Right, everything that we have experienced in him, everything that we have received in him, it is to be proclaimed. It says in Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Jesus is saying to us, talk about kingdom life. Right? Describe me, what life with me looks like. Share your experiences. Tell everyone you can. You have good news to share. Right? And this proclamation doesn't just come out of our mouths with our words. We will display Jesus in us through our very conduct, our actions, the way that we live, the choices that we make, our behavior, the way that we meet needs. Right, it's to enact the gospel, right, through our very lives, these lives that are centered on Jesus and empowered by his Spirit and him in us, then is evidence in this world of kingdom life. Right, Acts 1:8 tells us, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It is by the Spirit of Christ in us, as he imparts his very nature to us, to our nature, we demonstrate him, we bear witness of him, right? It's his thinking, it's his conduct, it's his responses, it overflows out of us. And Jesus is made visible by his Spirit in our homes, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our classrooms, wherever we go. And Jesus is saying, don't hold back, right? Wherever you are, in any place that you go, share me, right? By your words, by your very actions, by proclamation or demonstration. He says, display me, that the world would know who I am by seeing you share that good news. Good news is the gospel, right? Gospel is good news, and good news is what we have. Oh, this gospel of ours is full and abundant and life, right? We talked about the fullness of the gospel in that first week when we were looking at living Christ-centered lives. We looked at A.B. Simpson and how he described the fourfold gospel, the very fullness of all the blessings that Jesus brings to us. A.B. Simpson says that Jesus is our Savior. He is renewed relationship with God. He is salvation and reconciliation. He also is our sanctifier, right? Jesus is the Holy Spirit's power in us that lifts us up above the sin and the brokenness and the self-centeredness, and he is taking us from his glory to his glory. Jesus is our healer. He restores us. He cares for us, our bodies. He's energy. Jesus is also our coming King. And this is the hope that we have in Jesus, that he is coming back, that there is justice and final death of death and restoration of all creation. This is the fullness of our gospel. This is such good news, and God wants every person on the planet, in every house, in every neighborhood, in every city, in every country, as far as the east is from the west, in every culture, in every place. He wants us to know Jesus, to receive Jesus, to believe in him and turn and live Christ-centered and spirit-empowered and mission-focused, right? And Jesus commissions us to this. He says, live on mission, right? Share the gospel. Live the gospel in every day in our lives. In every moment in our lives, in every exchange, there is opportunity. Right? So what does it look like then? What does it look like to live mission focused? Right? What are some of those things that we might see if we're living with a priority to God's kingdom? Well, the mission focused life will reflect Christ. Right, as we live the mission-focused life, it's going to be a reflection of who we are becoming. As we go and grow in Christ's likeness, he will bubble up and be evident in us, on us, through us. Right, by receiving Jesus and receiving his Holy Spirit in us, his Spirit is at work, and he's imparting his divine nature to our nature in our very inner being. And part of that nature is missions. Right? God's very character is missional. And when God's character is missional, he is imparting his missional character into us. Right? Mission is from the word missio, which is to send. And we see this in our missional God, in the Father, as he sends Jesus. Right? God sent his Son to earth on mission to restore our relationship after we made a mess of it and broke it, and he loves us, and he knows that we have no way to fix what we've done, so he gives us a way to reconcile us to him. He sends Jesus. God the Father is missional. God in his nature is missional, right? Jesus also displays this. Jesus is God, but he displays and reinforces God's character of mission. He says in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus is missional. The Father sent Jesus. Jesus sends us. His mission becomes our mission. And Jesus imparts himself in us for our being. And he also imparts himself in us for our doing, our purpose, our direction. Right, our lives become directed to God's purpose. As Jesus is mission-focused, so we are mission-focused. It is to reflect Christ. The mission-focused life will also respond with Christ. Right, as our hearts are beginning to deepen with the compassion of Jesus, right, for the world, we're going to respond. We're going to react in the world around us, right? The indwelling Christ within us We are sharing in the heart of God, and the heart of God is for the lost and the broken and the oppressed and the wanderers, right? We respond, right? People need that message of Jesus, the message that Jesus himself came to bring. Without Christ, things here are not okay, right? This planet is polluted with pain, right? It's breaking apart with greed. It's violated with corruption. There are broken families and heartache and despair and hopelessness. There is such a vast and awful need in the world today, right? All over the world. People are still following other religions, false religions. All over the world, people have abandoned God. They've turned away. They have no affiliation with him. And this need is heavy. Right? Jesus tells us so in Matthew 9:37. He says, the harvest is great. And we know it. Right? We experience it in our own lives. In our families and in our workplaces, we see the impacts and the crushing weight of the world and the need for the love and grace of Jesus. And we respond in that crisis, right? It comes out of us as a compulsion to share. As we have received love and grace, it inspires us. It moves us to want other people to know, right? To know and experience Jesus and his transformative power. Jonathan Edwards says, it is precisely our satisfaction in Christ that magnifies Jesus and glorifies God. Right? When we have known Jesus' rich and abundant blessings, we are desperate to share him. Right, to tell his story, to demonstrate his love, his kindness, his gentleness in this world. Jesus, who gives food to the hungry, who is comfort for the brokenhearted, who works for the freedom of those that are in captivity, that becomes our response. The mission-focused life will be characterized with a response with Christ. The mission-focused life will also be responsible to Jesus' command, right? God has given us his plan. He's equipped us with his spirit for the work, and he's entrusting us to be faithful to it. Right? We need to exercise the responsibility that he has given to us. Right? And it's done willingly. We're not pressed to do it, right? It's not done in duty. Or guilt, right? This is us freely receiving Jesus and freely wanting to give Jesus, right? It is our opportunity today, our responsibility to share him. It is for us our responsibility in this present generation to share Jesus. Right? And he asks us to go, right? And we don't want to spend our time on empty pursuits for things for this world. We want Christ and his mission, right? Ephesians 5:16 tells us to make the most of every chance we get, that these are desperate times, right? It is an urgent need, a critical need. When we consider what is at stake, right, there is this utter heaviness when we think about those people who don't know Jesus. And we want to see the world saved, right? We want to exercise the commission that he has given to us. We are responsible to it. The mission-focused life will be responsible to Jesus' command. So the last thing of mission-focused life will fulfill the requirement for Christ's return. And Matthew 24:14 tells us that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Right? As we share Jesus, it hastens Christ's return. Right? This is confidence to us as we go. Our hope is quickened by this as we go. It is an awesome promise, right? And an assurance. Our mission will not fail. Christ will return, right? When all the nations have heard his good news. The mission-focused life is one that makes a priority of actively sharing Jesus with the world to expedite his return. Right? The mission-focused life is to fulfill the requirement for Christ's return. So when we focus our lives on mission, we will see a reflection of Jesus' missional heart from within us. We will respond to this broken world out of us. We will have responsibility, amazing responsibility to step into. And we have this requirement that we can have confidence and hope in of Christ's return. And as we consider the scope and the full benefits of the mission-focused life, it seems really easy to want to get our lives in line with the purposes of God, right? It seems like a no-brainer to understand the urgency and the opportunities that God is calling us to, especially as we think about that it ushers in the return of Jesus. So if I was to ask you in your own life, do you appropriately prioritize God's mission? Do you live mission-focused? And this means that we put the priority of our very lives, right? Our decisions, our direction, our activities, our money, do we put all of that, right? The priority of every day to sharing the gospel? Because I think that the mission-focused life can actually challenge us in many ways, right? I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life, right? Times where maybe I've been a little less than focused. It's been a little blurry, or I get a little sidetracked. Or even times in my life where I headed the wrong way. How about you? Have you ever stalled or swerved or became stagnant? Have you ever experienced a stumbling block that keeps you from making God's mission a priority in your life? I think it looks different for each of us. I think even at different times it looks different for each of us. But I think that there are things in our life that prevent us from living with abandon to focusing on the mission of Christ. I think one of the stumbling blocks might be when we choose our purposes and our plans over God's purpose and his plans for us. And I think that this can be similar to what we talked about in the first week of our series with the self-life and the Christ life. Right, and that we can sometimes have ideas about, you know, how our day's going to go, right? How we're going to live, what job we are going to have, how much money that we need, the conversations that we will have, those conversations that we will not have, right? And we see that, you know, in Jesus' ministry, right, when Jesus was on mission, he carried out the will of the one who sent him. He didn't have his own plans and his own agenda, right? And I think sometimes that when we have those fixed designs, we can squeeze out God's opportunities for us to share the gospel. I think another way that we can lose sight of heaven is when we force it out by all the pressure, right? We have our schedules and we have timelines and we have appointments and we have places to be and we have our responsibilities, and there is seldom margin. There is little room these days. Right? Remember in Jesus' life, he would stop for those interruptions. Right? They were moments to share the kingdom life with people. But for us, I think that we can limit those opportunities that God has for us because we just cram so much in and don't have space. And I think too that the other stumbling block that goes with that one is the speed of our lives. Right? The pace, the hecticness that can then take us off course. Culture today esteems efficiency, right? And we're always multitasking. I think I have a journal at home that says hustle hard. Right? This is a cultural pervasive influences that I think even sometimes we kind of like. There's a high to hurry. And I think we kind of like it. Right? But when we look at Christ and we look at his ministry and his pace, right? This was not Jesus. Jesus has been described as having a non-anxious presence. Right? There's no space to display the kingdom in hurry. Right? When we have that pace, there can be no time to share the gospel. And so we can limit ourselves in those opportunities that God gives us by the velocity that we are trying to maintain. I think another possible stumbling block for us could be our pursuits. Right? There's nothing wrong with good things, don't hear that, but are we choosing to live our best life now? Right? Are we enjoying up our resources? And whether it is financial or even personal, are we leaving ourselves too spent, too empty, that we can't pour out? Right? Jesus explained in John 4:34, he said, his nourishment came from doing the will of the Father. And I think that we can lose our focus by feeding our souls with temporal things instead of feeding those souls in the world who need Jesus. So there can be all kinds of obstacles that get in our way of living mission-focused, right? Our old nature wants to rise up within us. The world is crowding in on us. The enemy is going to try and tempt us to take us away from God's work and expanding the kingdom of God. But we want to be mission-focused people. We want to be pursuing him with priority in our lives. So how do we become mission-focused? Well, firstly, we need to understand that as we're invited into the mission of Christ, he invites us into partnership with him. Right? It is partnership in the mission-focused life. It is Christ working in us and his work in the world. And it can only be God in us who lead others to himself. Jesus within us, working his work through us. Right? He is the source of the power within us, that transformative power. We are the instruments of that power. We're the carriers, the vessels. But the Holy Spirit is the source of that power. We are the instruments of that power. Acts 1:8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Right? Our work can only be done in partnership with Him. It can only be done in Him. And we see this modeled in Christ's life. Right? When Jesus came to earth, He took on flesh. He's 100% human, still 100% God, but 100% human. And He receives the Holy Spirit at His baptism. The Holy Spirit comes on Him. He receives power. He begins His earthly ministry. Right? And Jesus starts demonstrating the kingdom. He starts performing miracles and healing bodies and sharing the good news, right? That the Father has planned for us. The Spirit was on Him, and He worked in power connected to the source of that power. And this is the same for us, right? It's by His Spirit, only His Spirit, that we have power to witness. Right? We can't demonstrate Jesus. We can't demonstrate Jesus by our human abilities. We just can't. It only comes from supernatural empowerment within us, right? He's the source for our power to witness. And we are those instruments. We think about it, like, how could we share heavenly wisdom with others without the Spirit revealing it to our hearts? In our own ability, we would never be able to love sacrificially, right? Or show mercy or demonstrate compassion or speak with gentleness or come with peace in the middle of crisis, right? How do we share joy, like heavenly joy? When there's difficulties and pressure, how could we ever fight for justice for the oppressed? Without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing. Without the Spirit's power in and through us, we can't witness Jesus. Right? We can't lead anyone to a decision about their faith, their sin, or how to receive or to receive Christ. It's only by the power of God. We don't have any resources within ourselves. And Jesus gives us this promise. He says in John 14:12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus gives us every possibility through His Holy Spirit in us. Right? His power fills us and carries us and enables us wherever we are, however we're serving. Right, for every moment, we're able to witness and to demonstrate Him through His power in our lives. And it's not just our conduct or our demonstration. It's also in our speech, our proclamation of His good news. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "My message and my preaching were not with wise words, wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." Paul is telling us our words can't impress anybody. Right? This is about God's Spirit. It's about God's power. This isn't about our wisdom. Right? It's not about how much we know or how much skill we have or how intelligent we are. How many times have we, felt small or unknowing or incapable to witness? Right? How to share God's story with other people. But He's saying to us, it's not our resources, our influence, our strength. It is, in fact, quite the opposite. God says, through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28, God chose the foolish things. God chose the weak things. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And we may not like that description, but it shows us that our strength comes from our insufficiency, right? When we are weak, we are strong. It's not about us. It's not about how well we speak. It's not about how much we know or where that verse is located in the Bible. It is entirely about Christ's all sufficiency in us and through us. Right? Jesus gives us wisdom, and it is divinely taught to us. And this is how we share God's plan for salvation through Jesus and the fullness and the promise of his resurrection. It is to know the Lord's message only through his Spirit. Right? Jesus' power is on our speech. This is unexplainable, right? The way that he can convict, or he can calm or reassure. This is Jesus. We can't manufacture this in our own effort, in our own capacity. Right? We're absolutely dependent on the Spirit. Absolutely dependent on him to share even the simplest of testimonies to Jesus. It's the Spirit pouring out his power. Right? It's by him in us that we're able to share the good news. He's the power. We carry out his power. His power equips us. He is all we need for his work. Right? We are to partner with God to be mission-focused. He's the source of that power for our witness. This is his part. We have a part too. It's not saying we don't do anything. We have responsibility too. We partner with God in mission. We are instruments for his power. And so what are some of the things that we can do to be mission focused? I have three things that I want to talk about. That we must focus our eyes on Christ's mission. All right, Jesus tells us in John 4:35, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. We must live with an ongoing awareness of our ongoing opportunities to witness Christ. All right, this is where we don't want to be too busy or hurried or distracted or preoccupied. We want to be attentive, focused, communing with Jesus, talking to the Spirit, looking for those ways in our life that we can display him. Right? And these can happen in our moments, in our conversations with people. And in our workplaces and in our communities, and sometimes in different ways where we go. But we will have a propensity to lose focus if we are not careful. Right? We can take our eyes off of him. In other translations, this verse says, look up, which is interesting. Jesus calls us to take our perspective off of the earth and up to the heavenlies, to get a heavenly perspective, because we don't want to get stuck looking at our day and our plan and our wants. We want to be aware of his plans and his wants for this world, right? And his spirit will quicken our sight to be like his, but it will require our intentionality to do so. Right, to be actively looking. It is to be wide awake. We see that in the Bible. It is to be wide awake, active, not sleepy. Right? Because there are so many spaces, so many conversations, so many hearts that need Christ. And it's really cool, actually, if you go through the Gospels in the New Testament and read the stories of Jesus. So many verses start with, Jesus looked and saw. Jesus saw and said. Jesus actively was looking at for others. Right? His intention was for them, not for himself. He was looking at their needs, not his needs. And it is for us to be like him. We need to look. We need to see. We need to live with awareness. We must be seeking opportunities where we can display him and his kingdom. And our part is to live in that awareness. Right? His part is to bring those opportunities, guide those opportunities, and give his power in those opportunities. But we need to be active. We need to see. We must focus our eyes on Christ's mission. We must focus our will on Christ's mission. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" To live with a mission focus, we must be ready. We must be obedient. We must be eager. Right? We have to be yielded in our inner disposition to actually step into those opportunities when the Spirit brings them to us, when we see them. It requires obedience. Right? God has called each of us to a special mission in this life, a work that no one else can do but Christ in you. And God wants us to move fearlessly into those opportunities, right? Trusting him and his plan. And this is a humility, right? It's like when Jesus came to do the Father's will, not his own. He was obedient, right? And he was moving where God called him to go. Right? And he wants us to do the same. He wants us to choose to step forward in faith and willingness. Sometimes far. Sometimes it will be close by. Sometimes super close, even in our own homes. And sometimes those opportunities will be in ways that we like. And sometimes he's going to ask us to step into opportunities that we don't like. And sometimes it's going to be in ways that we can understand. And sometimes it's in lots of ways that we don't understand, that we can't see. We move in the unseen, but we know his strength and we know his promises for us. So we can move into those situations. We can move into obedience. We can move into a focus on mission because we have committed our will, our inner disposition, our hearts to him. Our part is obedience. We are ready. Send me. Right? His part is the strengthening. It is to make us brave, to give us courage. Right? That is him in us, and he gives us those opportunities. And then in those opportunities, he demonstrates his power in those opportunities. We must focus our will on Christ's mission. And lastly, we need to focus our heart on Christ's mission. Paul said in Romans 10:1, "Brothers, my desire and my prayer for God for them is that they may be saved." This is to have an inner resolve that it is our heart's commitment, that we are steadfast to it, that we are determined, right? This is the posture of our heart, that we would stand firm and focused on his mission, right? With every chance, every opportunity that he brings us into, right, we need to stand firm and work and continue that work for the benefit of others, for the sake of our world. Right, we don't get weary or discouraged. We stand strong because we know that Jesus is a stronghold for the needy. Right, we don't get faint-hearted. We continue to stand strong. Right, because Jesus is liberty for those captives. We don't lose hope. We can stand strong because he brings justice to the nations. He rescues prisoners and sets them free. And in this resolve, we pray and we pray and we pray, right, to the Lord of the harvest that he would bring it about, and we confidently pursue mission, knowing that God's kingdom will triumph in this world. Right? Because the reality is that mission work, often it will not be easy. Right? We can hit rejection and insult and conflict, Right? We think of those stories in the New Testament when Paul talks about his missional initiatives. It can take a toll on our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our time and our bank accounts. But sometimes, too, I think that it can be a slow work, a work that we have to endure in, a work that we don't see. Sometimes, too, I think that it can take us to hard places that we don't want to look at. Right? We don't want to think about it, but it is to persevere. And I think of this like Jesus coming down a king born in a stable and humbling himself and everything that he endured to bring in and usher in the kingdom of God, dying for us. He never moved off of his mission. We too must stand firm. And it is not a constitution that we muster up. It is Christ who keeps us. Right? Our part, though, is our willingness to be steadfast. Our part is our commitment. And God's part is his keeping of us, his strengthening of us, that we might stand strong. And his part is the demonstration of his power through our lives. All right, so when we focus our eyes and our will, our obedience, our hearts on his mission, and we partner with his Spirit, that we have power to demonstrate him. Right? This is living mission focused. Right, we see those God-gifted opportunities and we rise in courage and obedience and we hold in on them, right? That part is our part. His part is the transformation, it is the power, it is the glory. Right? And there is no small work with God. It's incredible. There's nothing that's insignificant. We see that blades of grass become enormous fields, or we see little seeds that become huge harvests, or we see tiny leaves on single trees that become forests, right? This even little works. There is nothing in the kingdom that is small for God. We mustn't get stalled or sideways or stagnant. We must focus on his mission. Right, and we live with this priority of his kingdom, right? And this great cause of witnessing him in his fullness and his power, and we share the gospel in this time, right now, to this present generation. We were born for a time as this, right? This is what God has called us to today. Right, this is our time. He has you, he has me to work through. He trusts in us for it, that we will partner with him and continue to bring him into this world, right? Through our lives and our actions, our conversations, our very relationships. It will be through our attentiveness and our obedience and our steadfastness by his power, his fullness, his sufficiency, and in our lives. We have every opportunity to do any kind of work, right? But when we choose this work, his work, missions, kingdom work, this gives us purpose. This gives us passion. It is uplifting and sacred. It is privilege, right, to partner with God and watch as he transforms this world. Jesus, his kingdom, breaking in and transforming with light and life and hope and justice and freedom and mercy and wholeness and healing and peace. This is a wild life. It is meant to be poured out. We sang about it. It's for the sake of the world. It is for the glory of Christ. Oh, Jesus, that you would make us Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused people for your kingdom come. Let's pray. God, how true it is that that is our heart's cry. How wonderful you are. We don't have language to describe the glorious transformation that you bring into our lives, into our families, and into our communities, and into our world. We long for it. Jesus, we ask you, we know our shortcomings and our capacity, and we know that there are times, there are days, there are decisions that stop short of all that you have for us, and we ask you, Spirit, that you would stir us in that. That we would kick down stumbling blocks that get in the way of our lives lived mission focused. Oh God, for each of us, we pray that you would give us better eyesight. That we wouldn't grow dim and look at this world, but instead that we would continue to raise our eyes to you. And stay focused on you, Jesus. And that you would give us wills to obey you. Big faith, bold courage that steps into those beautiful opportunities that you give us to display your power. And would you keep us? Sometimes it's hard to hang in. But, oh God, in you we can stand strong. Would you yield us, Jesus, that your power would move through us, in us, that you would be upon us, beside us, under us, that you would carry us into every opportunity that we have to live mission focused. God, we commit this to you. It is our heart's cry. It is in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.